Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. Today I'll be talking with Lauren Jonas, co-founder and artistic director of the Diablo Ballet in Walnut Creek, which opens its 25th anniversary season on November 9th with A Swingin' Holiday and more. From the Elevate Ensemble, I'll talk with artistic director and conductor Chad Goodman about the opening concert of that ensemble's fifth season, a program called Iconoclasts and Freethinkers, this weekend in San Francisco and Petaluma. Also joined by composer Julie Herndon for that conversation. Cellist Michelle Jokic, in her capacity as artistic director of the unique Palo Alto-based chamber music organization Musiki West, a central aspect of which is the use of open scripted rehearsals to address issues such as bullying, shaming, and exclusivity with local middle and high school kids. A talk with dancer and choreographer Bobby Jean Smith about the world premiere of her new work, With Care, a collaboration with violinist Keir Goquilt, and new music by composer Matthew O'Coyne, who are also part of the conversation. Plus, Marilyn Levinson stops by to bring us up to speed about the concert season continuing at Bay Area Cabaret, an evening with Kate Baldwin just ahead this Sunday at the legendary Venetian Room at the Fairmont Hotel. Stay with us. That's a touch of Leos Janacek's music from his work Melody. It's music that can be heard this Saturday in San Francisco, Sunday in Sonoma, in a concert called Iconoclasts and Freethinkers by the Elevate Ensemble. Music also by Julie Herndon, Jordan Cuspa, and Paul Hindemith, a part of that program. Chad Goodman is the founder of Elevate Ensemble and offers audiences a unique way of experiencing the Bay Area's vibrant music scene. He's a fine trumpeter as well. Chad serves as the newly appointed music director of the Contra Costa Chamber Orchestra. Congratulations on that. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. This season, he is also serving as assistant conductor to the San Francisco Symphony, assisting Manfred Honeck, Francois Xavier Roth, Daniel Harding, Pablo Eras Casado, and others. He has also held conducting positions with the Peninsula Symphony, the Atlantic Music Festival, and Mercury Soul. Chad, such a pleasure to welcome you to our airwaves.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, indeed. And for the 2018-19 season, Julie Herndon is Elevate's composer in residence. She's working on her doctorate at Stanford in works that blend internal, external spaces through song, electronics, text, graphics, and improvisation. A very fine welcome to you as well, Julie. Welcome to Open Air.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Sure. Chad, well, so nice of you to take time away from your chumming around with Placido Domingo backstage at the San Francisco Symphony as a recent post on Facebook I saw. Congratulations on just that little chat. I'm sure it was interesting.
You. Always time for you, David.
second par, I'm sure, to Placido. So how did you guys meet backstage, and what did you guys talk about, just out of curiosity?
We met, it was a week, I was assisting Pablo Eras Casado, and being a fellow Spaniard, not me, Placido, to Pablo, he was in town singing with the opera and popped in for the concert, and we ended up just leaving the hall at the same time and ended up just speaking about the program we just heard, in particular Ravel's music, how much we loved it. They had ended with Bolero, and we just talked about our favorite moments, instrumentation choices. It was a very music dorky kind of conversation, very casually had with an absolute legend. So I was trying to keep my cool.
Very nice. Well done, I should say. Well, you know, it's like a comet with your career lately, everything that's going on. And now all the work you're doing is assisting some of the conductors at San Francisco Symphony. But let's focus a little bit on Elevate. Fifth season, congratulations. It's not easy keeping an ensemble going, I know. But what talent you have to work with here in the Bay Area.
Oh, very lucky. I can't believe it's year five. It's been a tremendous amount of work, but the payoff's just been so rewarding. We've gotten to work with so many musicians through this group.
And how did this program come together, Iconoclasts and Free Thinkers?
So the idea was, for me, started with Paul Hindemith's Septet for Winds. I've wanted to program it since before I even founded Elevate Ensemble. It's a very beautiful, quirky piece, but it's just for such an odd collective of instruments. The woodwind quintet that's involved is not, but then there's bass clarinet and trumpet as well. And so finding a reason to program it is very challenging. The beauty of Elevate Ensemble and being the artistic director is I get to make those kinds of decisions. So I decided I really want to build a program around this. And there's so much great wind repertoire to begin with. So outside of that, we programmed Janáček's Wind Sextet Mladý. And we already knew for the season Julie Herndon was going to be our composer in residence. And we're thrilled. She's writing not one but two pieces for us this year. And so she has written an amazing piece called Visible for that full septet force as well.
Same as Hindemith's confabulation. Julie, what's it like composing for this unique group of people?
Oh, it's really exciting. The energy that Chad and Aaron bring to the programming is really, really great to work with. And the ensemble itself, really great players, and they're down to try anything. We had our first rehearsal a little while ago, and they were doing things with the video score that I had not even imagined yet. So they were just taking it to new levels already.
Mm-hmm. And does this work also incorporate some other multimedia elements?
Yeah, so this is an audiovisual work, and it has a video score that the audience sees. And the players see a slightly different version of the score, a version of the video with staves overlaid on it. And they look at the video and they respond to what they see as quickly as possible. And I give them a series of guidelines to improvise with. And they make decisions and they make sense of the data that they're seeing on the screen.
Wow. So it's largely improvisational.
It is. They are provided with pitches, pitch shapes, and gestures, structures, but they're making decisions on what to prioritize, which notes to play, which ones to leave off, because it's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm. And Chad, what has it been like to this very unique way of making some music with Julie?
Well, we were just discussing this a few minutes ago, just how great it is for classical musicians to have the opportunity to improvise, and that I grew up playing jazz trumpet, so for me it was something that just sort of came with the territory of making music. But in the classical world, you don't get as many chances, and people aren't as comfortable with it. And this kind of improvisation, there's tremendous amount of flexibility and freedom for the players to be creative. But as Julie said, there's also these guidelines. There's certain parameters that help along with the process. So the rest of our program is so notey. There's just so many notes going on in all this music, the Hindemith and Janáček and this other piece by Jordan Cuspo, another great California composer, that I think Julie's piece provides them a chance to work a different part of their brain, they're loving it. So,
A composer I'm not familiar with, Jordan Cuspo. Tell us a little bit about him.
So Jordan, I actually met this summer when I was conducting at the Atlantic Music Festival in Maine, and he was the composition fellow there, and we haven't actually be roommates. We had an apartment together, and he is a phenomenal composer. He's based in San Diego right now. He has written for a tremendous amount of ensembles and orchestras, degrees from Yale, from Rice, just you name it, and he's just an incredibly driven composer. Whenever we're looking for someone to work with Elevate Ensemble to program their music, we're drawn towards composers who need to be writing music no matter what. This is someone who's just writing music regardless of whether there's a commission or not. Like, it's in his bloodstream, just like it is with Julie. And those are the people I want to be surrounded with, and I want to share their stories and their music.
Nice. Julie, what is the composition scene like at Stanford? I mean, I've always found it interesting to talk with composition students, because how do you, I mean, there's so much going on in your own head that you want to have come out. What's the role of your mentor or your teacher in composition?
That's a really interesting question. At Stanford, we're kind of a unique program in that everybody there does something really, really different. So all the faculty are super different. All the students are doing something almost unrelated. So there's places where we overlap with each other and where we can really understand and tap into what each other is doing. And then there are times when we're like, wow, that's really cool. I never would have thought of that because we're in kind of different spheres. So I'd say it's exceptionally diverse, and the faculty is too, and they cultivate that intentionally, and it's pretty exciting, I think, for that reason.
A living laboratory, so to speak, for your creative spirits.
Yeah.
What else are you working on other than what is having its premiere, I guess, this weekend, right, the septet?
I am working on a collaboration with a violinist, Marco Fusi, and he's based in Italy, and we're working on a piece together. It's hard to know exactly what it's going to turn out yet. It's kind of in this very liminal stage where ideas are kind of flickering around and growing into things. And it's that exciting time where it's like journal entries and pictures and no notes yet. So we'll see what comes of that.
Okay. And Chad, your schedule is going to be interesting. You must have a calendar manager for everything that's going on in your life right now. What's the most exciting thing that's coming up on your horizon?
Well, these next shows with Elevate this weekend, and then the following weekend I have two performances with the Contra Costa Chamber Orchestra. I'm thrilled. Big highlight for that program. We're bringing in Joe Brown, who's second trumpet of the San Francisco Ballet Orchestra, to play not one but two solos with the orchestra. He's doing a beautiful piece by Alan Hovhannes called Prayer of St. Gregory with string orchestra.
Lovely.
And then the Hummel Trumpet Concerto. I'll be getting to do some work with San Francisco Ballet in December, which is going to be thrilling, as well as a Messiah with Contra Costa Chamber Orchestra. So there's plenty on the plate. It's overflowing, but very exciting things happening.
Well, thank you for taking the time today to talk about Elevate Ensemble 5th, and congratulations on the 5th season, Julie. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful performance Saturday at the Conservatory of Music, Sunday at the Petaluma Arts Center at 2 p.m. Information at ElevateEnsemble.com. Chad, Julie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My next guest is Grammy-nominated cellist Michelle Jokic, who enjoys a versatile career as chamber musician, soloist, and orchestral player, including being a longtime cellist with the New Century Chamber Orchestra here in San Francisco, and being the founder and director of Concordia Chamber Players based in New Hope, Pennsylvania. Her lifelong passion for chamber music and the collaborative process of rehearsing was her inspiration for launching of Musicy West in 2017, based in Palo Alto, California. It's a unique ensemble that harnesses the collaborative power of chamber music to foster empathic awareness, promote conflict resolution, and build peaceable communities. Michelle made her debut with the Philadelphia Orchestra at 12 years of age and went on to win numerous competitions. She's worked with principal cellist with several orchestras throughout the country and is, again, currently a member of the New Century Chamber Orchestra here in San Francisco. Michelle, welcome back to our KLW airwaves.
I'm so thrilled to be back. Thanks.
For folks interested in a more extensive interview with her, you can hear what she did with Sarah Cahill for
that was lovely, yeah.
Revolutions Per Minute a couple weeks ago. So this is a very unique ensemble, Musicy West, and tell us a little bit about what made you inspired to do something like this.
Well, David, one of the luxuries of aging, and I think there are a few, but one of them is that you are entitled, I think, to express something that's really important to you without such fear of any kind of judgment. And after this life of music and also of having been a mother to two children, having gone through high school and witnessing how much social interaction can actually be negatively impacting our lives, I was inspired to use what I have as a musician to send the message that there are ways that we can be much more aware of each other, much more sensitive. And especially in today's environment, I think that that's a critical element of everyone's lives, children and adults alike. Chamber music is my great passion. I've done that more than anything, and I'm so grateful that I have. It's actually a luxury for many of us that are in that field. And I feel it's the most conducive to group dynamics. We're a very small group, and even the slightest sigh of exasperation from one of the members can rattle an entire rehearsal and lead to ongoing stress within the group. So we can actually take our program into classrooms. Maybe I'll just give your listeners a little background.
Sure.
We actually script our rehearsals. We call them open rehearsals, but we create a loose script where we honor the personalities of all the different members that I've brought together so that they can, with great integrity, display something that they have actually experienced in their lives. So shaming, you know, if you make a mistake and your colleague says, oh my gosh, that was in four, can't you just count to four? Or you're wasting our time. You know, we rehearsed this already. Or say, for instance, if two of our members start chatting in a secret way with another member of the group and the rest of us feel left out, this is something kids feel in the playgrounds every day, in the classrooms every day, and we can so easily convey that to students.
But the kids don't know that this is being scripted, so it's like they're witnessing something, some spontaneous
and
argument.
They're struck by it, and the magic of what we're doing is that they're actually in touch with looking at us in the eyes. And they're listening to the music without even realizing it because they're so drawn in by what we're acting but displaying that they're actually hearing some of the most fantastic players in this country performing chamber music. And I choose repertoire that I really feel will enliven the kids' imaginations. So they witness us going through this for quite a while and they think that it's true, that it's real. But eventually, I travel with Dr. Rona Hugh of Stanford, who joins us on these ventures in the classrooms. And she's always in the back of the classroom, unbeknownst to the students, and intervenes when it becomes maybe uncomfortable or she feels it's uncomfortable. And she invites the students to comment on what they witnessed. And frequently, which is really lovely, there are young children in that audience that are giving us advice on how we could have better handled a situation. And I think that that's the beauty of it, is that their colleagues in their classroom are able to hear ideas that maybe they hadn't thought of. The ones that aren't speaking are perhaps the ones that are most in need of what we're discussing.
So are they let in on the secret at the end of the session?
Of course. We do the big reveal. Do the big reveal. Absolutely. But it's great. I mean, it's a huge trust factor between the schools and our program, and we try very hard not to cross over a boundary. But I promise always the greatest integrity in what we're trying to do to the classrooms, and it's been hugely successful.
And
so
work
far.
That is desperately needed. I didn't realize that Palo Alto had one of the highest suicide rates in Santa Clara County of children between ages 10 and 24 years.
You know, it's not unique to Palo Alto. I've seen that all around the country. It happened. Those incidences took place during my children's experience and career in high school. And I remember the discussions around the kitchen table, which was my original title, was Music Kitchen West. Those conversations,
there we go.
Yeah. Those conversations actually helped me to realize I had to do something. I wanted to do something. My children's comments and their friends were, how is it that we missed that? How did we not see it in their eyes? How could we not have helped? And I think that today's environment lends itself well to not looking at each other in the eyes. We're always looking at a screen and whatnot. And this particular program draws great attention to eye contact, to feelings that the result in action of a poor act towards another colleague. The children are actually witnessing something that perhaps in social media, they're not immediately aware of their impact of a word or a gesture. Whereas here, they're witnessing the impact. And music opens everyone's souls. So if you are starting off with them hearing music, you're immediately touching a nerve that enlivens all their senses.
Mm.
And so it's actually a wonderful
window.
And for us as musicians, honestly, it's very therapeutic. I've not done one of these where my colleagues don't thank me afterwards for saying, I didn't know how much I needed this, because we have a chance as well to discuss our own experiences with regards to those type of negative behaviors in our own work environment.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to the works that you're doing in the schools and the schedule that's coming up ahead for various appearances in schools in the area. You have a concert coming up on November 8th, which is going to be at the Mitchell Park Community Center. Tell us about the players there and who's involved.
Yes, I hope everybody will come out to support all of our efforts and what we're doing in the schools. The program is it's exciting. Works by Jonathan Dove, a string quartet called Out of Time, Britain's Fantasy Quartet. We're doing a movement from Elgar String Quartet. And well, in any event, the program is very exciting, but I really have to brag about my colleagues. Richard O'Neill is our violist. The fact that he would take time out of his busy schedule to play this is a testament of how important it is to him. Kemp Jernigan is coming in from New York, our oboist. Emily Daggett-Smith, Eugene Zhang, one of the most brightest stars on the horizon. And in that space, you're right in front of them, right next to us. It's really a wonderful opportunity for everyone to meet them, greet them, and celebrate what we've been doing for a week here.
The concert is tonight at 7:30.
Oh, no. Oh. It's a week from tonight.
A week from tonight. That's
after
right.
Everyone's voted, please, November
yes.
8th.
I'm already fast.
You're a week ahead, please know.
I know. I'm in denial that it's November, yeah. Let alone, and here I am jumping ahead
November
a week.
8th. And the website, if you don't mind, it's I'll spell it for you. It's musikiwest.org. musikiwest.org.
And the program will include works by Jonathan Dove, John Francex, as well as the Fantasy Quartet for Oboe and String Trio, Opus 2 of Benjamin Britten, and the Piacevole movement from the E minor quartet of Sir Edward Elgar, Opus 83, which we're hearing now. Michelle Jokic, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, it's just a great pleasure and an honor to be here. I love your radio station.
We look forward to learning more about Music at West.
Thank you so much, David.
A little Elgar for you. Music of Elgar that could be heard as part of Musiki West's concert a week from today, next Thursday, November 8th, musikiwest.org for more information about that concert and the good work that they're doing in the schools here in the Bay Area. Well, ODC Theater presents the world premiere of With Care, created by Bobby Jean Smith in collaboration with Keir Goquilt, and featuring dancer Orr Meyer Schraber, violinist Miranda Cuxon, and original music by Matthew O'Coyne. It's a co-commission by ODC Theater and the American Modern Opera Company. Three of the principals involved in that production join me now in studio. For nearly a decade, Bobby Jean Smith danced with Bat Shiva Dance Company in Tel Aviv. Her choreography and solo work has been presented by Batsheva, by PS122, the Israel Museum, Luminato Festival, Sacramento Ballet, and the San Francisco Conservatory of Dance, among others. And she is a Gaga teacher, which we will no doubt talk about shortly. Welcome to you, Bobby Jean.
Hi.
Also joining me is violinist Keir Goquilt here from New York, working in New York City primarily. Keir has made solo appearances with the Chinese National Symphony, the Orquesta Filarmónica de Santiago, and the Manhattan School of Music Chamber Sinfonia, among others. In venues around the world, he has presented his research on music in philosophy in conversational performances and presentations. Keir, welcome to you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Happy to have you. And Matthew O'Coyne is a composer, conductor, and pianist, the co-artistic director and creator of American Modern Opera Company. He's artist in residence at Los Angeles Opera and a 2018 MacArthur Foundation Fellow. A very fine welcome to you, Matt. Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's start perhaps with Bobby Jean, how the inspiration for this work came about.
Keir and I created a piece called A Study on Effort a couple years ago, and it is comprised of seven different efforts that we move through in the piece. And the final effort is the effort of taking care. And it felt like the right place to jump off from, to create a new work together. So we started to investigate that idea of care. How do we have strength to continue to care? How do we build what is already broken and that we know will break again?
And Matthew, the music that you created for this work, for violin and the other instrument, it's just two instrumentalists, is that correct?
It's two violinists, yes.
Two violinists. Tell us a little bit about the structure.
There's music throughout the piece, but not all of it is mine. With Care features music by John Cage and Bach and Reiko Fewting, and as well as a new, perhaps 7-minute piece by yours truly. And I think the unique thing about our process in AMOC, the American Modern Opera Company, is that we meet over the summer in Vermont to workshop the programs that we will then tour throughout the year. And so I was able to really just watch from a bit from the outside as Bobby, Keir, Miranda, and Orr developed the arc of the piece. And then I was able to compose music for quite a specific moment in the drama, which is a rare opportunity for a composer.
And Keir, what's it like working with dancers? I understand that at some point there was going to be some very, very intimate interaction with the violinists in this work.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an incredible learning process working with Bobby. And I think one of the things I've taken away from it has been that actually we can emphasize a lot of similarities, such as like rhythm and motion and narrative. And, you know, I mean, just like even starting from the place of asking questions about care and empathy and apathy, like already sets like a really strong grounding for us to work together.
And what will we be seeing then on stage with the two dancers and violinists?
Well, you'll have to come see.
All right.
Keir, Matt?
Well, I mean, we're all characters in the piece. It has a sort of theatrical narrative premise. And they're kind of two twin characters. So Bobby and Miranda Cuxon are, one character, and Orr and myself are another character. And, so, you know, we utilize like every means of expression that we have, like text, music, movement, dance, to create this world.
Mm-hmm. Matt, founding a new opera company, that's not something that one does all the time.
Not every day. Yeah, that would be exhausting.
Tell us about what the focus is going to be as you continue developing it.
You know, for AMOC, for the artists in AMOC, we take opera in its most...
Once again, AMOC is for American Modern Opera Company.
Exactly, AMOC, not AMOK. we take opera in its deepest sense as the place where all arts meet. It's not an opera company in the sense that we perform Puccini and Verdi operas. We don't. We are a collective of singers, dancers, and instrumentalists who are interested in working together. Kier, a violinist, Bobby, a dancer, and the many other artists in Amok are simply artists and people that inspire me. Zach Winokur, my co-artistic director, and I had the idea, why don't we just bring together all of our favorite colleagues and see what kind of cross-pollinations occur. And so far it's been extraordinarily fruitful. I mean, Bobby and Kier met on a staging of one of my pieces, and I remember being concerned when Zach suggested that that Bobby kind of, and Kier kind of fused to become this, he called it the creature, this violinist dancer creature. And I said, that sounds like a great idea, but Kier's never going to let a dancer hang off of his body while he's playing the violin. It's a fairly delicate activity.
Not to mention a delicate violin.
Exactly, a delicate and expensive instrument. And I was blown away. Yeah, by the Bobby gave him no choice. By the trust that developed very quickly between the two of them, to the extent that they ran off and made their own piece, Study on Effort. And then it's sort of, they're kind of, these pieces are multiplying like rabbits, First it's like one dancer, one violinist, and now we have this evening-length piece for two dancers and two violinists. So who knows what's who knows what's coming next?
Well, we've talked about a little bit about Amok. Let's talk a little bit about Gaga. No lady involved in that.
No.
Except you, of course.
Bobby is Lady Gaga.
No.
Tell us about, this is completely new to me, Gaga dance. What does that mean?
Gaga is the movement language created by Ohad Naharin, who is the artistic director of the Becheva Dance Company in Israel. It's been around before Lady Gaga, pre-Lady Gaga. It is for everyone of all abilities, and it gets you in touch with your sense of groove, effort, pleasure, places of numbness or atrophy. It basically reminds you of your body and gives you keys to listen to it better.
Hmm, interesting. And part of these performances, again, tomorrow through Saturday at 8 p.m., will include a pre-performance demonstration and invitation to learn a little bit more about Gaga. Is that correct?
Yeah, I thought it would be interesting if we kind of break down that wall of performer and audience member and let's all warm up together and hopefully get all of us, listening from a similar place.
Mm-hmm. We don't have a recording of Matthew's work, but also on the program is Reiko Feuting. Oh, is that how you say her name?
Feuting.
Feuting? A work called Tanz Tanz. What is that? How is that being done, Kier?
This is a recording of Miranda Cuxton playing it. And basically, the Feuting is a nice pairing with the Bach Chaconne, which is also on the program, in that he took sort of chorales that Bach chorales that appear in the Bach Chaconne and wrote a piece based on it. And it's just kind of obsessive and repetitive, and Miranda plays the heck out of it. So,
What else is coming up for you, Kier, in terms of performance?
Well, actually, I'm playing Matt's piece, The Orphic Moment, at the end of this month. I'm writing my dissertation, and that's taking up a lot of time. Uh-huh. But there are a lot of performances with Amok and with Bobby and this quartet on the horizon. So,
ODC Dance presents, ODC Theater presents the world premiere of With Care, created by Bobby Jean Smith, in collaboration with Kirgo Quilt, and featuring dancer Orr Meyer Schraber, violinist Miranda Cookson, and original music by Matthew O'Coin. The performances are Thursday through Saturday at 8 p.m. here in San Francisco at the ODC Theater on 17th Street. For more information, go to odcdance.com/withcare. Thank you all for coming in. Matthew, I look forward to learning more about your works down the road. And Kier, come visit us again. Of course, Bobby Jean.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome anytime on Open Air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A little bit of music from Tanz Tanz.
Thank you.
Music of Reiko Footing, which can be heard as part of the With Care Performances ODC dance presentation, odc.org/withcare for more information. Well, also on the dance front, Diablo Ballet kicks off the holidays in style as the company presents the opening program of its 2018-19 season with the family-friendly A Swingin' Holiday and More, November 9th to the 11th in Walnut Creek. A Swingin' Holiday was created back in 2012 by Sean Kelly, who is currently the resident director of the First National Tour of American in Paris. Here to talk about the 2018 version, which will feature some new dances added to the ballet, as well as Robert Decker's Carnival of the Imagination, is Lauren Jonas, the co-founder and artistic director of Diablo Ballet. Lauren danced on stages around the world and was seen with, among others, the Milwaukee, Oakland, Southwest ballets, toured the U.S. with the Moscow Ballet, among others. And since Diablo Ballet's premiere in 1994, she has led the company, and so this 2018 begins its 25th season of Sharing the Power of Dance. Welcome to you, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
Challenge to keep a company going, given other companies that have met their demise and had their problems. Congratulations on a 25th season.
Thank you so very much.
The core of your company is just 10 dancers, and mm-hmm. with a comparatively modest budget, yet you're still presenting such top flight classical and contemporary works in venues large and small. Tell us a little bit about the focus of Diablo.
Well, the focus of Diablo Ballet is to feature 10 dancers and really present the best in classical and contemporary dance. We also feature live music in most of our performances, which is rare. And for a small company, we have choreographers who are incredibly esteemed and in the height of their careers. And also, I am very privileged to be able to showcase up-and-coming choreographers as well.
And this holiday program features also some music. Tell us about the composers that are involved in this mm-hmm. the holiday program.
Oh, well, they're jazz arrangements that our music director, Greg Sudmeyer, created. And they're swing style, so some of them are from the Nutcracker, Tchaikovsky. You have to listen very carefully. It's quite humorous. The Sugar Plum Fairy, for example, is called Sugar Rum Cherry. And there's some holiday...
Oh, the Duke Ellington version.
Duke Ellington version. Nice. Mm-hmm. And, but he has arranged these specifically for this ballet and this production. Some are from the 30s and 40s. Some music is from some children's songs. We have some old MacDonald in there, which is pretty great. So it's really wonderful, and it really showcases the dancers. Some of it's on point, which is classical, on where the female dancers dance on their toes, and some are swing style. So Sean was a principal dancer for many years with the Houston Ballet, so he has this incredible classical ballet acumen, and then he spent the rest of his career directing and dancing in Broadway shows. So it's a hybrid, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And also on the program, this Carnival of the Imagination mm-hmm. with music that's well known to people.
Yes, by Saint-Saëns, and Robert Deckers created this wonderful, really traveling journey of this young boy and how he meets these various different characters along the way. And it's just delightful. We premiered it in May of 2016.
Mm-hmm. So this core of 10 dancers, mm-hmm. how are they selected for mm-hmm. inclusion in Diablo? Mm-hmm. How do you get a hold of
these people? It's a very good question. Well, now that we have a reputation of being in existence for 25 years, I don't have to do that much reaching out. I receive a lot of resumes and so on and so forth every single year, and our turnaround is very small. So we have dancers staying with us for quite a bit of time, which is tremendous. But it was always my vision that these dancers not be right out of training school, but they have all really created a career for themselves around the world and throughout the United States as soloist and principal dancers prior to joining Diablo Ballet. So they're very seasoned prior.
Right. And a very important aspect of Diablo's mission is outreach to schools and the SEEK program, or PEAK, outreach programs. Tell us a little bit about PEAK. What does PEAK stand for?
PEAK is Performing Arts Education and Enrichment for Kids, and I co-created that in 1995 because when I started Diablo Ballet, it was very important to me to create an organization that was really deep dive into arts education. That was very, very important to me. And so 24 years ago, we started with one second grade body at a school in Martinez. And now, gratefully, we've been there 24 years consecutively, seeing the entire second grade. And we are also in six other underserved classrooms, Title I schools, from Oakland to Hayward to Bay Point to Martinez. And then 3 years ago, we just started our fourth year in July at Juvenile Hall in Martinez, where we work with at-risk teenage girls aged 15 to 18. And we're not teaching any of these children or teenagers how to dance ballet. We're teaching them how to express their feelings through movement so that they are really finding a different path for themselves, something more positive. And it's been incredible. I would say it's been one of the highlights of my entire life.
The performances are the 9th through the 11th, I believe, for this particular performance of A Swingin' Holiday, which also includes music from Carnival of the Animals, which we're going to try to cue up here in a moment. Tell us a little bit about, you also do some commissioning work, is that correct?
We commission new work many times per year. One that I'm really looking forward to for our actual 25th anniversary celebration program is by Julia Adam. For many who knew, she was a gorgeous principal dancer with the San Francisco Ballet for many years and has since then has become quite an esteemed choreographer around the country. And she has created a brand new story ballet called Once Upon a Time, which will be accompanied live by the Contra Costa Wind Symphony. And she's used wonderful arrangements from American in Paris, actually, and A Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. And it really showcases the dancers so beautifully. I'm very, very excited about this commission.
Very nice. Well, we'll have you on again to talk more about the exciting work that the Diablo Ballet is doing. If you want to get a head start on the holiday season, I was in denial about November starting. Well, this is a good way to get into the holiday spirit. 9th through the 11th in Walnut Creek, the Diablo Ballet's 25th season, A Swingin' Holiday, and more. Go to DiabloBallet.org for more information. Thanks for coming in, Lauren.
Thank you so much.
DiabloBallet.org for more information. Good afternoon. I'm David LaTulipe. Happy you're with me for Open Air, our radio magazine of the performing arts. And very pleased to welcome back Marilyn Levinson to talk about Bay Area Cabaret, continuing its season at the amazing Venetian Room. Hey, Marilyn, welcome back.
Thank you, David.
So Kate Baldwin is the next artist coming up this weekend.
Yes,
this Sunday. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, she just stepped off of the stage she shared with Bette Midler and Bernadette Peters and Gavin Creel, who is just here. She won a Tony nomination for her performance in Hello, Dolly. She's taking a little break to come perform for us a show this weekend called How Did You Get This Number? And it's about her signature songs in roles she's had in Finian's Rainbow, Hello Dolly, Giant, John and Jen, her extensive show history, and she'll be talking about the songs and how they came into her life and what they mean to her. So we're really excited about that. And opening for her will be a young local singer, Megumi Nakamura. She is a senior at University of Michigan. She's student of the year, but she has too many things on her bio ahead of that. She forgot to mention that to me till just now. She is an ACT Young Conservatory alum and a terrific performer that's going to go on to do great things.
The performance is this Sunday, November 4th at 5 p.m. in the historic Venetian Room in the Fairvant Hotel, a great venue. And of course, the place where Tony Bennett first had his left his heart.
True.
So tell us a little bit about how you're selecting these people for Bay Area Cabaret.
Okay. Well, this is our 15th anniversary season, if you can believe it. And what we try to do is have an eclectic mix that expands our audience's tastes and yet not stray too far from what they appreciate, because ours is a subscription series, and we have this year more than ever, we have 165 subscribers this year. And so we've been building that base over the years. And the subscribers have been taken on a musical journey through Broadway, jazz, pop, different types of artists.
And as you mentioned, Kate Baldwin recently appeared in the new Broadway cast of Finian's Rainbow.
Yes.
We're going to hear her sing How Are Things in Glockamora. And Marilyn, we'll have you back to talk about your next array of guests, BayAreaCabaret.org, for more information about Kate's performance this coming Sunday at 5 p.m. at the Venetian Room in the Fairmont Hotel. Thanks for coming in, Marilyn.
Thanks for having me.
Sharon.
Aye?
It's the same skylark music we have back in Ireland.
Aye. A Glockamora skylark. I hear a bird. A Glockamora bird. It well may be he's bringing me a cheer. I hear a breeze, a river Shannon breeze. It well may be it's followed me across the seas. Then tell me, things in Glockamora. Is that little brook still leaping there? Does it still run down to Donnycove through Killybegs, Kilcare and Kildare? How are things in Glockamora? Is that willow tree still weeping there? Does that laddie with the twinkling eye come whistling by? And does he walk away sad and dreamy there, not to see me there? So I ask each week, that comes a whistling to Riley,
The beautiful sound of Kate Baldwin at the Venetian Room in the Fairmont Hotel this coming Sunday at 5 p.m. More information at BayAreaCabaret.org. Let's hear a little bit more of Kate Baldwin. What a lovely voice.
The glamour's gone, the shades are down, and Paris is only a lonely town, lonely. When love's a laugh and you're the clown, then Paris is only a dreary town, dreary. The loveless clown, this town's a weary merry-go-round and round and round. The chestnut, the willow, the colors of Utrillo turn to gray, gray hues. The band
Wow, thank you for that sentiment, Kate Baldwin. Paris is a lonely town. Fresh off her record-breaking 2017 revival of Hello, Dolly, starring opposite Bette Midler, Bernadette Peters, and Gavin Creel, Kate was nominated for the 2017 Tony Drama Desk and Outer Critics Circle Awards for her performance as Irene Malloy. You can hear her this Sunday at 5 as part of Bay Area Cabaret, bayareacabaret.org, for more information. Also coming up this weekend, you may enjoy a performance of Jurassic Park with the San Francisco Symphony. Those performances are tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. Information at sfsymphony.org for more information. Performances Friday at 8, Saturday at 8, and next Tuesday at 8 p.m. at the Davies Symphony Hall here in San Francisco. sfsymphony.org for more information. The final performance of Arabella happens at San Francisco Opera on the 3rd. You can find out more about that at sfopera.com. And next week here on Open Air, I'll be talking with a number of people. I hope you can join me for that. It's going to be violinist Karen Gomio, who will be performing Shostakovich's Violin Concerto at the San Francisco Symphony under Jakub Hrusa. Also includes music of Bartok from The Miraculous Mandarin. Singer-composer Holcomb Waller will talk about the San Francisco debut of Requiem Mass, A Queer Divine Rite, an evening-length choral work to honor those who have suffered persecution due to their sexual orientation or gender expression. Performances will be at the Grace Cathedral on November 16th and 17th. I'll also talk to actor Justin Genna, who plays Peter Allen in The Boy from Oz, the raucous musical biography about the life of the most famous gay man from Australia, entertainer, singer, songwriter Peter Allen. It's directed by John Fisher, and performances are at the Gateway Theater here in San Francisco. Plus, our regular contributor and critic at large, Peter Robinson, will shine light on our cultural offerings around the Bay Area. Thank you for being with us on Open Air. Our shows are archived at kalw.org. If you've got a show segment suggestion, by all means, send me an email. I'm david@kalw.org. Neil Swinkles produces the show and herds the cats, keeps our calendar in order, and provides a lot of the insight for some of the guests that you hear on Open Air. Thanks again for listening.